the intro.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Coffee with Cashy. I am your host, Dr. Trevor Cashy. Today's Coffee with Cashy is an interesting one. Doing that a corporate wellness workshop I told you guys about. And I wanted to give you another excerpt from that. There's very interesting science and big implications about what's called explanatory style. And I want to give a deeper explanation or deep explanation of why this is such a big deal. Explanatory style is, in short, the way a person explains to themselves or other people why stuff happens. This is with any type of stuff though. Good, bad, ugly, neutral, whatever. Okay, if there is a situation or stressor or a stimulus, S, okay, a person is telling themselves a story with the who, what, when, where, why. And it turns out the way a person does that is super duper important, like really super duper mega important. So here's a fake situation, and participate in this, if you will. Gonna give you a hypothetical situation, and you are to think of and or write down a short explanation of why it happened. Okay, I got into an argument at the store because blah. Okay, I'll wait about 5 seconds and then see if you come up with any sort of answer. Okay, see if there's any sort of here. Okay, checking the chat for some answers here. So, some answers pop up. So why would I get in an argument at the store, okay? Let's say it's because I bumped into somebody's cart and we both reached for the same thing on the shelf and she was in a mega hurry and it was the last thing he wanted to get it for her child's birthday party. And then we got into a scuffle and elbowed and then yelled at each other as cranky people do at the store when there's only one thing left. Okay, so after you come up with a reason of why it happens, there's three things that you rate on a scale of 1 to 7. It could be any numbers in this context, okay? But then what you do is you rate is how much does this have to do with me? Was this because of me or because of external factors like chance or other people or luck? Okay, where 1 is very little to do with me and 7 is very much to do with me. Okay, then the next thing that you rate is how often does this sort of thing happen? Does it happen very, very few times? Or is this the sort of thing that happens all the time? Or do you see it happening all the time? And the next question used to rate this explanation is how global is it? Is this something that only affects me in this very place, or will it affect other areas of my life as well? Now, this sort of measurement does get done in research, okay? And in a situation like this, there's a whole grip of either fake situations that you can give people or people tell stories on their own where they would rate those factors in terms of, well, how internal or external is this? How likely is it to continue happening or just happen once? And is it likely to only affect this part of my life or affect my life entirely? And this permission can be telling when done genuinely, because it gives great information on where to focus your energy. So I urge you to audit the way you explain the cause of events to yourself and others, and we'll get to more specifics there in a moment. For instance, if a person explains a negative event, as highly intentional, right? Like it's my fault. And if they consider it as something highly stable, it'll be like this forever. So it's my fault and it'll be like this forever. And then they also determine that it's global. Like, this will also affect my entire life. Well, that's more likely to lead a person towards a depressive mood state. And I'll go into the shocking experiment here in a second. Okay. Additionally, if a person is explaining a positive event as highly external, mostly luck or because of somebody else, or highly strange and unique, probably a one-time thing, maybe a result of luck, and also highly localized, like this only affects this one part of my life right now in this area. Well, that's also more likely to lead a person towards more depressive mood states. So remember, this is a combination of many different events, good or bad. So these would be audited and, you know, average, so to speak. I'll say that in quotes, over many events that are considered good or bad. And it's worth paying attention to yourself in regards to how you explain things that happen. Okay. At this point, I'll take liberties to explain a bit about what the heck, where the heck that comes from, because the science behind this contains some really powerful lessons. So this was originated by Dr. Seligman in the 60s, doing a bunch of experiments on dogs, as you do. And he's the originator of the entire field of positive psychology, by the way. So here's the first experiment he ran. Imagine for a moment, a large kennel with a dog in it. Seligman placed electrodes on one side of the kennel, on the other side he put carpet, essentially, to block the electricity. Now, whenever the dog went to the side of the kennel with the electrodes, he zapped the dog. The dog got a bit of a shock, and the zap was mild enough for the dog to be irritating. And of course, the dog was like, well, what the hell is your problem, Broseph? And they moved to the other side of the kennel, right? Soon, the dog knew to avoid that side of the kennel all the time. That makes sense. Now, the next part of the experiment, experiment two, Dr. Seligman put up a grate that split the kennel in half, and he kept the dog on the half of the kennel that had the electrodes on it. The dog was stuck. The dog would get zapped randomly. Okay, the dog would get zapped, and the dog at first would be like, dude, what the hell's going on? And try to get to the other side of the kennel, obviously, because the dog knew that the other side of the kennel was the comfy side. However, after enough repetitions where the dog was trapped on the side of the electrodes and getting constantly shocked, the dog learned that there was nothing it could do, and it gave up, and it just laid there helpless. Even if Seligman zapped the dog, it still laid there doing nothing. All right, so let's move on to experiment three now. Dr. Seligman removed the grate and made the kennel fully accessible to the dog again. So now the other side of the kennel is open and the dog can escape the zaps. Now the scientist zaps the dog, and guess what the dog does? Nothing. At this point, the scientist actually moved the dog physically to the comfy side of the kennel. And what does it do? It actually stays on the side with the electrodes. It still remains on the side of the kennel with the electrodes, and they continue to zap the dog and it continues to do nothing. So what's the lesson here? The lesson is that the dog literally learned to stay helpless because it had previous experiences where it was stuck. See how this could translate to humans? Specifically, maybe how a child can grow up in harsher conditions and live their lives controlled by other people, abusive, etc., and how that would literally teach a person, a child, to be helpless as they grow up into adults, okay? Even if they grow up and end up in equitable circumstances with better opportunities and better people with resources, and for lack of a better term, their life is now good, right? However, they still remain helpless. However, even though this theory does seem super delicious, there's a major flaw when translating it to humans. And that's when you do the math and compare the amount of children that, to put it lightly, had it rough, abused, etc., and then became adults that maintained their learned helplessness, it's actually less than 50%. And only a subset of the adults maintained and perpetuated their learned helplessness. So what gives here? What's going on? What is going on? It turns out, actually, that it's this whole explanatory style business that the kids that told themselves, well, this is all because of me. This is gonna last forever. It's all my fault. My life is ruined no matter where I go. Okay, it's gonna be like that everywhere. They learned and taught themselves to be helpless as adults. And the kids that told themselves that, yeah, I'm in a screwed up situation, the situation would eventually end and that there will be better places with better people in the world, okay, and I'll have more resources and more opportunities, they explained their situation to themselves and other people that way. They became self-sufficient adults. In other words, they went from learned helplessness to learned industriousness, to learned optimism, okay? They were, amazingly enough, able to garner some appreciable powers of abstraction and create a picture of a future that was better. For that reason, explanatory style is an important key to learning industriousness, to learning resilience, to learning optimism. These are learnable things. See how even as adults, if a person explains situations to themselves and to others, to other people, as if they're stuck, as if it's all their fault, or as if it's the fault of something else all the time, and that it's always going to be this way everywhere for all times, and it affects their entire life, that they literally teach themselves to be hopeless, even when in the presence of resources and opportunities that would otherwise resolve their problems. Do you know anybody like that? How crazy is that? Anyway, thank you for your patience. Thank you so much for learning. Until next time. Want to continue having coffee with Dr. Kashi? Head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. It is very much appreciated. Thank you, and see you next week. Dr. Kashi is out!